Welcome to University Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations here at the University of Malta. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research projects, their international networks, about their aims and aspirations. I shall also be hearing from staff and students and visitors to campus about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. With me in the studio today on University Matters, I have two guests, Dr. Noel Aquilina and Mr. James Charilaw. Just a few words about them. Dr. Aquilina obtained a BSc Physics and Chemistry in 1994. He worked on an FP5 research training network at the University of Aveiro in Portugal in 2003. For a year, he was a researcher in meteorological modelling with this European network called Atrius, Advanced Tools for Rational Energy Use Towards Sustainability, with emphasis on microclimatic issues in urban applications. He joined the Department of Physics in 2008 and initiated climate science research within the department and is now leading the research group called the Malta Climate Team, MCT, and that's since 2010. As I said, with him is Mr. James Charilaw, who, after reading a BSc Honours in Physics and Chemistry, decided to follow a research career in climatology with the Department of Physics at the University. In his final year dissertation, he worked on the performance of a regional climate model with regard to its chemistry model. In the summer of 2010, he worked with Dr. Aquilina and Mr. Norbert Bonici, another BSc honours student, to set up the MCT and presented his research findings in an international climate research workshop and conference at the International Centre for Theoretical Physics, ICTP. Mr. Charilaw is currently reading an MSc by research in climate science at the Department of Physics. Welcome to you, gentlemen. Clearly, from the bios that I've just read, we can see that your main interest is climatology, climate change, and that's going to be the subject of our discussion this morning. Obviously, a very topical issue. I'm sure listeners will be very interested to hear about it. Dr. Aquilina is not new to the program. We've had a discussion about urban pollution, if I remember rightly. But perhaps, Dr. Aquilina, you could give us a bit of an overview. You know, what is climate science research and why should you be doing it?
Thank you very much and good morning. So first of all, an important distinction needs to be made. What is meteorology? What's the difference between meteorology and climate? So when we speak about the weather, that is a case in point, looking at meteorological conditions at a particular point, at a particular time. And generally that is for a couple of days, so 3 to 5 days. However, the climate then would be looking at these meteorological conditions, but over a longer period of time, generally about 30 years or even longer, and that would represent the average of these meteorological conditions over an area. This as well would define the climate of an area. A typical example, if we consider the Mediterranean, these changes, obviously, over a long period of time would lead to what we call climate change. Then the climate change results in changes in the weather activity, which obviously means that we can have some particular changes that all of us note. Some examples are precipitation intensity, increase in drought days, and increase in maximum temperatures, and, for example, as well, an increase in storm frequency. Some things which we are noting all over the world.
Climate change can be both natural and human-induced, otherwise called anthropogenic. And the most notable natural causes of climate change include cases such as plate tectonics and the impact of astronomical objects such as meteors, etc., volcanic activity and solar activity, and also changes in the tilt and orbit of the planet. Natural cycles are constantly ongoing, and these are on a much slower scale. Human activities are faster, and such a is the case of emissions and of pollutants. And it is necessary to study climate change and how it's affecting the world, because of the impacts it may have on the Earth's inhabitants, be it flora and fauna, and also humans. And I guess the main concern of most of us is humans and the way of life. Of course, the ecosystem is also important because we are part of it. This can any changes in climate can result in decrease in crop output, the changes in disease outbreaks, and also have impacts on fish stock and the development and the economy.
The skeptics in the climate change arena talk about the fact that there have always been these sort of cyclical or occasional changes in climate in our planet over the last millions of years, and which can be plotted actually quite closely. I've read this, and obviously it's definitely not my area. And the skeptics say, well, really the pollution effects and so are really small fry compared to these big climatic changes that are natural phenomena. How are people going to be convinced that these human intervention phenomena are going to have an impact on climate change overall?
It is true that climate change has been occurring since there was an atmosphere and for a long time. As I've mentioned earlier, these changes are normally very slow because plate tectonics, for example, change very slowly. Perhaps more sudden changes would have been for sudden occurrences such as a huge outbreak of volcanic activity or a meteor impact. However, the remaining changes that are constantly occurring occur on a very slow scale. The impact that humans are affecting is mainly due to pollutants, the emission of pollutants. And some would argue that nature is emitting more of these pollutants. However, nature is also recycling these pollutants, and what we emit, we are not recycling. Nature has to do the recycling for us, but since
if we're cutting down the forest, exactly, they're not going to do it.
No. Exactly, since it is not exactly part of the cycle, it doesn't recycle everything. So the pollutants are accumulated, and the effects start to show more and more.
I would like to add to what James is saying that another important impact that these skeptics tend to look at is that looking at carbon dioxide emissions. So naturally, most of it is recycled. As James said, that what we emit is not recycled, but what has been emitted in the past, so then that would be post-industrial revolution, that has accumulated into the atmosphere, and its effect is still ongoing. So now, at this point in time, if the politicians decide to reduce by legislations that are more environmental friendly, if we start reducing the emissions now, still we are suffering the pollutants that have been emitted for quite a long time now.
About the Department of Physics involvement in all this, how is the research proceeding within the department?
So, if I may just mention a historical point, the Department of Physics has been entrusted with the senior management of an important project executed by MEAPA on behalf of the government of Malta, with the preparation of the first and second national communications, which is a Maltese obligation to the United Nations Framework Convention for Climate Change. So this activity started way back in 2001 and has continued till 2010. In 2007, Professor Charles Sammut, the head of department, obtained funding from the British High Commission to go on training and obtain license for a climate model, which is called PRESI, obtained from the Met Office. And on my return to Malta in 2008, I was funded as well to follow up this training. And actually, the first climate model was installed on a desktop computer. within the department, and that's where the research started. So within 2 years now, as the department has secured funding, ERDF funding, to buy a computer cluster, the MCT is one of the major users, because now we have installed the same Prezi on Albert, and as well a new model called RegCM4, and as well a numerical weather prediction, which is used for more meteorological studies. So looking back from 2008 to date, we have now increased the capacity of the research that we can keep up.
And I presume that you have links to other institutions. I'm sure you're not sitting here literally on the island. You must be researching with other people.
Yes, in fact, the composition of the MCT now. So I lead the group. James is the current master student who takes care of the simulations and the coordination of the data, because these models generate a lot of data. Then Norbert Bonnici is a BSc honors physics and computing, takes care of the installation of the models and their maintenance. We have a third year student who will be now following up one of the prediction models. He's Jason Padovani-Genese, who will take up the numerical weather prediction. And as well, we have Jessica Falzon and Deandra Kutayar, who are still second years, but they are forming part of the team in order to start preparing themselves to keep up with research. In terms of the international collaborations, as Albert, we can run the climate models pretty fast now compared to when we started.
You have to tell us who Albert is.
Okay, Albert Albert is the computer cluster. So for us,
he's not a human.
No. So he is our computing power, and the models now can run very fast as compared to when we started. And so the first international collaboration we are contributing to is called CORDEX. CORDEX stands for Coordinated Regional Downscaling Experiment, and that is part of what our models do. They carry out dynamical downscaling. So we study regions like the Mediterranean, and we studied as well Australia. James will say why we focused on Australia. So yes, we have some interesting collaborations already running, and in fact we are going to be involved in further international collaboration.
James, when I did the leaflet, I produced a leaflet for Discover University Week, there was this lovely picture on the front of this group of young people, and it was lovely because it really gave the impression that this group was a group of young, very young researchers who were enthusiastic and, of course, getting to grips with this, as we said, a very topical subject. How do you feel about being in this team?
Well, it's a very nice experience, everyone. It's a very friendly experience, I would say. All of the members are quite young, it does help to have people enthusiastic about the subject and willing to help each other, because if one works by himself or herself, you don't get very far. But with the help of everyone's different expertise, we get very far. And I would like to thank the contribution of another member, Mr. Norbert Bonnici, who's first year in physics and computing, who has led the installation of our models on the supercomputer cluster Albert.
This is computer-based. I mean, we've talked about Albert and the capacity that this new cluster has. Is the information just on the computers? Do you have installations anywhere else where you could gather things, or is this purely modeling?
Yes, it is. I would say it is purely modeling. We obtain data to compare the model's results online, and it is available from various projects that have occurred on an international scale.
About the database, getting the data is important. Having it in a place where people can actually access it easily. I have interviewed people who have had other projects where they stress the importance mm-hmm. of having that information on a database which is freely available to other people. I mean, is that how you obtain your information?
Yes, yes. In fact, the project that Dr. Aquilina mentioned, the Cordex project, is working on that idea to produce model results, data available for everyone online for regional modeling.
And do you get a chance to meet any counterparts abroad, or is it only a virtual experience?
No, it is quite a real experience, I would say. In fact, a few weeks ago, I went to the ICTP on the Cordex conference, and I've met quite a few very well known scientists in the field, and we lead discussions on a very friendly basis, and I would say most of the cases.
Because that's important that, mm-hmm. that these young people that you've got in your department, Dr. Aquilina, that they sort of get out and make their own networking contacts, isn't it? Conferences are really useful for that. I mean, people sort of sometimes make slightly derogatory remarks about these people, whoever they're always going on conferences. But in actual fact, the conferences are really key mm-hmm. to going beyond the virtual and actually getting to know people well enough then to continue an academic experience with them.
Yes, in fact, if I would like to sum up the scope of the MCT is, in fact, to encourage a research attitude towards this climate science rather than based on the, let's say, the typical exam-style approach. And, in fact, would like to increase the awareness that there are opportunities, research opportunities, based on the different expertise that is required. So we would like to have with us mathematicians, more programmers, chemists, biologists, statisticians. All of them would fit in various aspects of climate science. In fact, the short term plan of the MCT is to increase the team with the various expertise that we would need. Obviously, on a long term basis. And we mentioned the Cordex already, so when we'll start putting our data online, I think we will be part of an international effort. So that supposedly would increase the postgraduate opportunities, so both at master's, doctoral level, and hopefully as well postdoctoral level, because we have the computing power that is appreciable.
To attract people as well to come from abroad, you have to be able to offer them a certain facility. As you say, there are so many different areas involved in climate change. I mean, even I, who understand nothing about it, could imagine that you've got, I mean, statisticians, obviously, very specialised, who could come in, and other, you know, chemists and all sorts of people involved. Have you got any results yet? I mean, you probably sort of fear that question, because research isn't always about getting immediate results. But have you actually got results from this work that you've been doing?
Yes, in fact, what the MCT has achieved today, first of all, within the since 2009, 5 undergraduate students either finished or are finishing their dissertation projects. James is currently the MSc student who I'm convinced he will finish in due time, and next year I should have 2 PhD students, another MSc students, and 2 undergrads. So within 2 years, the team is expanding fast, and that is very positive. So obviously, yes, the results start coming fast, and we always try to work with an international perspective. So the research we'll try to do is within what is required within the international community. So James can speak about some of the results we achieved.
And we started working on the Mediterranean basin. We're right there, and also the Mediterranean is a very sensitive region for climate change because of its complex topography. And also we chose the Mediterranean to work in line with international projects such as, in particular, the MedClivar. We have obtained results on this region last year. We've worked on temperature and precipitation and as well the vertical profiles using a particular model. We've also obtained results on the validation of the sulfur model. It was the Pressy model from the UK Met Office. And now we've moved on to the Australian domain.
Why Australia? It's an interesting choice, really.
It's on the other side. But we decided to focus on Australia mainly because there is a lack of research with climate models in this area, and also because very difficult to model because of different types of climate in that area. And in fact, the students that are working on this region are focusing on the variation of the Southern Oscillation, very important in the Australian region, and also the validation of a land surface model, a new land surface model within the Pressy model. And currently, I am working on my master's research. It is based on a larger and extended domain from the Mediterranean, considering Europe and all of North Africa, to study the oscillation patterns and how they influence the transportation, the movement of aerosol from one location to another. And
can you explain oscillation patterns very briefly?
Very briefly, they are an oscillation pattern is a system, connected system between two areas of different pressure. They would be related together. When one increases, the other decreases. And because of their coupled interaction, the winds in and around the region where they are either strengthened or weakened, depending on what the current state of the pattern is. And that affects temperature, precipitation, and as I am studying aerosol transportation.
To add to James' description of the results, I would like to stress that our results indicate similar climate change projections as compared to what the international community is saying, basically referring to the IPCC report, the fourth assessment report, that the temperature increase in the Mediterranean, the precipitation decrease, they follow our results. I cannot really comment on the Australian effects because the projects are still ongoing, but definitely our results are going to be a contribution to the international community.
These general hypotheses are created, obviously based on research, but then they need to be validated by work such as yours, sort of on the ground, so to speak.
In fact, you've asked before about our results. They take a lot of space, and so what we simulate today, say, we can use for several years, depending on whether the model becomes outdated or not. What I would like to add on, what the Malta Climate Team is working on, what results. Our results aren't just climate results, and by that I mean that we are also working on, as Dr. Aquino mentioned, to expand. And to do that, we are actively outreaching our research to science students from all topics. I believe Dr. Aquino has already mentioned the fields. We are outreaching our results and research to the general public as well, and through seminars, public talks, and in particular the Climate Summer School. And this summer we are organizing the second edition of the summer school, with the scope to expose science students from different backgrounds to the basics required in understanding the Earth system. And we are also preparing two study units, new study units for all science students, with the scope of having a solid background on how to do climate modeling and also give hands-on experience through projects and assignments on the field.
And yes, the department, how is it going to move on with this idea?
Yes, in fact, the idea of the MCT, and obviously in line with the Department of Physics, is that we would like to have and to strengthen an interdisciplinary approach to research. So that's why these two new study units are based on hands-on projects. So they are not going to be exam-based, but they would really prepare the students to a solid background, which we think is still lacking within the Earth system sciences. And then obviously, if we are having an interdisciplinary approach, then that would facilitate our involvement in future FP7, and now there are going to be the FP8 projects, because these are going to be large cooperations. And in fact, I am already in discussion with colleagues all over Europe, because one outstanding climate change issue which is associated with the Mediterranean is that there is an observation that extremes are increasing. Very, very common ones are extreme precipitation. So we're getting less rain days, but when it's raining, it's becoming quite torrential. And we are getting a lot of drought in the Mediterranean, so that is very crucial for the water resources. I believe the MCT will be participating in one of the major projects which will be funded within the EU. So hopefully next time around we'll be giving positive feedback about this. The plans of the MCT are definitely to go even outward from our university, which will contribute as well to the model development, because the models are not yet perfect models. We need to work hard at developing them. And obviously that would be a gateway to so many students to even work, as we mentioned before, with peers and the international community.
I think we could give them the email address, just in case anyone's interested. It's climate-physics.sci@um.edu.mt. And if you want to access the website, go to the Physics Department website on the UOM site, follow research and follow climate.
And if I may just conclude as well, you can follow us on Facebook. We have an academic group and it's called Malta Climate Team. So please feel free to join the group and follow our various activities which are ongoing.
I would like to finish up by encouraging the students to log on to the website and also the Facebook page. From a student point of view, I would like to guarantee that it's a very interesting and rewarding experience.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Noel Aquilina and Mr. James Charlot. Thank you both very much. Thank you for listening to today's program. I do hope you can join us again next week for another in the series University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.